You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass, 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 brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is a show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And I want to thank you for joining us. Look, the topic that we're going to be focused on over the next several episodes is going to be cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. I don't want to focus on AI. That'll be for later segments, but I just want to put a spotlight on cryptocurrency because of what's transpiring. For a long time, you know, since the rise of Bitcoin, right, when it was created, when it started to get mainstream appeal, it was always confused, meaning that people really didn't know what it was about and what blockchain technology was until the mainstream media started covering it. And you had platforms that started providing educational services. And that was a tremendous help. Because at the end of the day, when you look at Bitcoin, you can't look at it as, as something that has no intrinsic value, because it does. You have something that has a limited supply. If you see nations, whether it be the United States or whether it be, Argentina, Mexico, whatever it may be, even in Europe, you know, you have in Africa too, you have these inflationary issues that pop up. And the first mode of action is to print more money. Whether they print, you know, digitally, whether they print paper money, whatever the case may be, you know, it becomes problematic. It does become problematic because, you know, if you can, and these are questions that I ask, right? You know, if you can go and print as much money as you want to go pay for wars and to go support other countries in their wars, whether it be the Ukraine, whether it be Israel, whatever it may be, you have to look at it this way. They're sending, you know, billions of dollars being sent out to, you know, whatever countries are being sent out to help support them. And money can be printed on a whim. So why are they taxing the people? What are the taxes used for? If the taxes represent just a small fraction of what is needed to run municipalities, and a lot of these things are being paid just by printing money and getting countries further in debt, it brings questions to the table that I really don't have answers for. I'll leave that for people that are higher up on that food chain to answer, but it just brings these questions to the table. And I'm leading to something with this, by the way. You know, if you look at, like Argentina, right? You know, you have money that's printed and printed. You know, way back when you had currencies that were backed by gold, right? They were backed by gold. When you had countries, you know, like the U.S. pretty much started it, and they, you know, we came off the gold standard, what transpired? It opened up the doors, because at that point, you know, you don't have to go prove your reserves, right? You don't have to do any of that. You can just print money just because it's, you know, there, it's backed by the full faith of God and the full faith of the country that is printing it. Now, the Federal Reserve is doing this, and they're printing money and they're buying treasuries and things of that nature. It's creating a cycle of debt. It's creating a crazy cycle of debt. You know, and it leads me to the point with Bitcoin. See, if you look at currencies, that again, if any country can just print money and print money and print money, you know, where does that bear down on the citizens? It has to. You know, you have the ultra wealthy that are, they're always, you know, one step ahead, because it's not that they have any, well, they have any crazy edge, right? It has to do with having the knowledge and the ability to manage things just a little bit better. And again, that you know, this is just my view on it. You know, of course, having the wealth factor doesn't hurt. But if you look at things just on a basic level, it all comes down to understanding how things tick. If you understand how things tick, you'll be able to adjust and go with it. But, you know, when you have money that's just being printed and printed and printed, you have inflation going up, food becoming more pricey, rents going up, real estate going up, and, you know, interest rates going up, and basically people that are looking to start their lives, they have a problem doing this because you have young people that are getting sidelined. They can't go and buy that home, that dream home, that starter home, that maybe that two-bedroom, one-bath to get them started so they can start living their lives. No. They wind up becoming renters, and sometimes they become renters for a long time, but you have these rents that are going up, you know, they keep going up. They're trying to pass, you know, laws which actually cap it at a, you know, 5% increase, I think, annually or whatever the case may be. The bottom line is that doesn't solve the problem, because if you have interest rates so high, all right, and you have material, because I don't care if it is, has to do with logistics or whatever the case may be, okay, when you have the pricing of materials going higher and higher, and you have rents going higher, and you have interest rates going higher, do you think that these builders are going to be able to go, and especially smaller builders are going to be able to get the loans and sustain them and have that carry until they're done in order to make these things happen? Okay, you groups that have, you know, when interest rates were 0 or 1 or 2%, right, it was easier because you can maintain it, you can actually get it done. But now at 6, 7, 8%, no, it's hard. And in some cases, depending what you have going on, that rate can go 9, 10%. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked in some cases it goes borderline usury. And I mean, look at the credit cards. You know, what are they charging? You know, between 25% and 35% per annum. That is insane. That is insane. But this is what happens when you have administrations that can just print money and print money and print money and finance other countries' wars and print more money and do that, and it's just bad. Okay, if you look at, you know, at one point in history, the Argentinian money, that currency, I think the rate was to the U.S. dollar was, I think, 20 or 30 to 1. Right now, I think it's like 80,000 or 800,000 to 1. It's some ridiculous number. And what was that about? That came about because of the printing of money with nothing behind it. And if interest rates keep going up, it creates a further problem. Now, in the U.S., we're hoping to have a reversal of that where they start dropping the interest rates. That's going to give a little relief, right? Now, again, I'm talking about all this stuff because I'm leading to the likes of Bitcoin and other viable cryptocurrencies, because Bitcoin's not the only one, but I'm just going to speak about Bitcoin right now on this episode because it is the grandmama of them all, right? It wasn't the first cryptocurrency, but definitely not the last, but it was the one that stuck. All right, you had, you know, way in the beginning, you had a guy that had 10,000 Bitcoin and traded it for 2 pizza pies. You know, in hindsight, I bet you he wished he didn't do that, but at the time, what was it worth? Pennies. Look at it now. 63, 64, 68,000. You know, Bitcoin has the possibility of going to 100, 150, 200,000. Some people are predicting $1 million a coin. And why is that? Is it because it's the most fantastic thing in the world? No, it has to do with how it works. It's the ultimate truth, right? I send you Bitcoin, you get it. It's on the ledger. It's immutable. It's traceable, and you have it. I can't lie that I didn't send it to you. You can't lie that you didn't receive it because it's there. It's there. It is the ultimate truth. Ultimate truth. It is the truth serum in the financial world. And at the end of the day, when you have a system like that, it brings transparency. Having central banks issuing digital currency on a blockchain, I believe I think that's going to be an issue. And the reason it's going to be an issue because when you have governments that are issuing, centrally issued, digital assets, even though things are digital, but I'm talking about blockchain, I'm talking about traceable, immutable events, okay, where, they can see where everything's going. They see that you got this coin, this token from XYZ, and it went to this. I mean, they can trace every penny you spend on whatever it is. Then you have to have a global environment that accepts it. So I think that it's something that's not going to happen anytime soon because any government doesn't want to reveal the truth. Because if they reveal that truth, it's going to show maybe how strong or how weak they are. That can become problematic. Now with Bitcoin, it's capped out at 21 million, Bitcoin in that range, and there won't be any more. The halving just happened. Okay, people were expecting it to fly to the moon. The Bitcoin ETFs happened. They were expecting it to fly to the moon. The reality is patience. Patience is required here. Patience is required because Bitcoin within itself is starting to grow up. It's an asset class. It brought cryptocurrency as an asset class. Because of Bitcoin, you have the likes of Ethereum, of Solana, of Pico Novus, of other cryptos that are able to thrive and grow and build because of this, because of what happened, because of the somewhat, greater adoption of it. Okay, and what's going to wind up happening is that people are going to begin to realize the true value of everything. You have the Bitcoin ETFs, you have BlackRock, you have Fidelity, you have 21, you have ARK, you have a lot of issuers out there issuing Bitcoin ETFs. Now they're issuing Ethereum ETFs. They're going to issue other, Solana is probably going to be next on the table, and some others are going to come, probably this year or next year. And it's going to be very interesting, but that brings it to a broader audience, a greater market, mainstream. Where they don't need to go and understand how a wallet works. They just need to go and understand that they have exposure to it. So I don't care if you're a bond guy, a stock guy, an option guy. This is what you do. You're trading, whatever. You're buying bubblegum, whatever it is. Trading cards, whatever the case may be. Exposure to viable crypto assets as an asset class is key. And you need to do that because if you don't do that, you're going to lose out and you're going to miss the boat. Okay? This is not a trend. This is not a flash in the pan. This is the future. Blockchain, AI, this is the future. This is, blockchain is the next iteration of the internet. And you're going to see how companies are going to be building out systems that are gonna, be seamless, and it's gonna, you're gonna see Web3, but it feels like Web2 because it's gonna be that indistinguishable from each other because you don't need to learn how to code. It's gonna be that easy, all right. And this stuff's gonna happen. Now, Bitcoin itself, again, when you're talking about, issuing money, the throughout history. All right, you had money that was issued, whether it be rocks and, gems or gold, whatever the case may be, it was issued for commerce. That's why it was created way, 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 way back when, okay? And right now, when they, they issue money, they issue it for a reason. right? They issue the paper money for a reason. But I think at some point in time that they forgot that it should be something that should be on a ledger or something. There should be some sort of recording and understanding of why something was printed, or something was sent somewhere. I mean, look at what, happened recently. You know, they I forget what, branch of the government, I think it was the Pentagon, they mistakenly sent over $6 billion extra dollars to the Ukraine while our veterans here are suffering, while they're not getting the help that they should be getting. But there's no accountability, right? There's no accountability. It's just like moral hazard on, steroids. And it's scary. It's scary. That's why I'm a big advocate of cryptocurrency. I'm a big advocate of blockchain. I'm a big advocate of AI in the context that it's going to help humanity and not not be utilized as a tool, as a weapon. Okay? You know, for malice. So, you know, when you're looking at Bitcoin and as I mentioned, Ethereum, Solana, Pikunovis, and other cryptocurrencies, you have to look at, you know, the future. The future. Because Bitcoin, you know, digital gold. All right. You know, Ethereum, they kinda classify it as the technology, right? Now, when you're looking at other platforms, there's a mixture of both, where you have the digital currency part of it, but you also have the technology part of it, okay? And it brings everything together. It brings everything together, and then the evolution is going to continue to go on. The one thing that I do warn you, and I please heed my warning, please heed my warning, okay? Those that jump on hype machines, please don't do it, because you can get hurt very easily. You can have some rug pull situation come out, and all of a sudden you wind up getting hurt. Don't do it. Look for the viability in the project that you're looking at. Okay, you know, you have projects that are less known but have great viability. They have great promise for the future. These meme coins, these type of things, you know, if you're, I mean, look, when they do this stuff, it's like gambling. That's what that is. It's all a hype thing. People, they hype it up, and people go on Telegram and so on and so forth. They start pushing it, and at the end of the day, it reminds me of the pink sheet market or the old over-the-counter bulletin board, where you had hype going on the Silicon Investor. And people were hyping it up and doing that. And all of a sudden, stock and the market makers push it up. And people get in. And all of a sudden, the floor comes out. And you have people losing their shirts. You know, just look at what the likes of Jordan Belfort, what he did. Okay? So, you have to look at it in that context. Right? Be careful. I would avoid meme coins. Okay? Of course. Well, we'll call them meme tokens. Right? You know, at the end of the day, you know, you look at Doge, all right? When that was created, it was created as a joke. But it had its own blockchain, so it had something going on, right? These other tokens, they're built on Ethereum and other blockchains and Solana and so on, and even on Binance's chain and everything else. And they're pushing it for whatever, you know, for their reasons. And somebody is cashing out. That's the reality. So my advice, stick with viable situations and do that. You know, Bitcoin, everyone should have a little bit of it in some way, shape, or form, because it gives you exposure to it. The ETFs, well, it gives you exposure, right? You know, but if you're looking to be like a crypto native type of guy or girl, you need, you know, I mean, you can buy Bitcoin, right? And you can hold it in a wallet. But, you know, if you don't feel comfortable with that, you can always have the ETF and you can hold it there. You know, just bear in mind when you hold any crypto at a centralized exchange or something of the like, basically you don't have ownership really. You know, they are holding it. They're the custodians of it all. And You know, so we just have to be weary about that. Not weary, aware. Just put aware. Aware of that. You know, Coinbase is I have to say, is probably the best bet. You know, Binance, you know, look, they are the largest globally, you know, but they have their issues. You know, you just have to go where you feel comfortable, where you feel safe, right? That's what you need to do. All right, anyway, I wanted to just, you know, touch on these random topics on cryptocurrency. The next episode, I'm going to be doing a full blast on Pico Novus, the blockchain, the history of it and everything, because it's really interesting. I love it. I love what's going on. I love the prospects for the future, and it's going to be an interesting ride. And we just happen to be deeply involved in it, and that's why I want to talk about it, because, you know, I haven't brought it on the show to really, really speak about it the way I'm going to be speaking about it, because I think that, you know, listeners should be aware of it. They should be aware of it. But again, well, I'm not just focusing on that. I'm going to be talking about, you know, Bitcoin, just like I did on this show, Ethereum. I'll give some highlights on Solana and so on and so forth. Because I want to do that, you know, if this show can bring a little insight to you, then I'm going to say that we did something good. Okay, so with that said, I want to, you know, thank you for tuning in. And I'll be back with you with the next episode, which will be on Pico Novus. You want to tune into that. Thank you and have a great trading day.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio, in your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host Louis Velazquez and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.